Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
That's the Mike Jones Band with the Penn Jillette theme. I'm Penn Jillette, and I'm also playing bass on that, I'm proud to say. See, with Michael Goudeau, this beautiful Monday in Las Vegas. It's been like, 120 degrees out here.
It's perfect, isn't it?
Perfect. It's just great. And my sister, was out here for a while and went back to New England, and it was too hot for her, because it's not so much the heat, it's the stupidity. It's not the heat, it's the stupidity. So she's back there, and she's I miss her. I miss her a lot. It's nice having my sister out here playing with the kids and so on. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. That's my name. Two N's there. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. I want to talk about this thing where Jimmy Buffett got really drunk and gave like
Warren?
$38 billion.
Warren Buffett.
Okay, what did I say?
Jimmy?
Yeah, well, anyways... Warren Buffett was wasted away in Margaritaville, and he gave a lot of money to Bill Gates, And I have hippie friends, I'm sorry to say. I have hippie friends, and they're always talking about how, the rich are these evil, awful people. And now Bill Gates now will be putting more coin into helping people. Than like, UNICEF and stuff. I'm not sure that's exactly
then,
right.
Then Carnegie.
Yeah, then Warren anybody. Carnegie. And I like that Warren Buffett. See, I think that it could be just a whole scam. It's possible it's a complete lie because it says kind of hidden in all these articles. It says that Warren Buffett and Billy Gates play bridge together all the time. And I think they were playing like, $1 billion a point, and Warren Buffett lost. And then to cover it up, he's pretending he's giving it to charity, But, Warren Buffett seems like just a great guy. He used all that money in stocks to invest in things, made himself just a ton of money, and now he's going 40, on to help.
$42 billion.
$42 billion. But what's he given to? He's given to Bill like $37 billion at today's prices, but it'll probably go up a little higher. And Gates already is the world's largest charity with $29 billion in assets. I'm rounding it off because what's $200 million to these guys? And I really think that those who think that the government should take care of everything, I see this as a direct insult to Bono. Bono is somebody who says, I want to get a lot of publicity and a lot of credit for talking about Africa, and I think that awareness is important, and I also think that governments should take money at gunpoint from their citizens and give it to Africa. And he does all this posing and all this yakety-yak, and meanwhile, Bill Gates, nerd, geek guy, makes the money in a fine way, doing business, and then actually does the stuff that Bono is bitching about. So I just thought this was a beautiful story. If you have any comments on 866-570-PEN, that's 7366. If you have anything bad to say about Warren Buffett giving the money to Bill Gates, if you think that $4 billion isn't enough to give his kids... I mean, he's leaving his kids fine. I just think there's nothing bad about this. I don't know. I don't think this is really the nut point of view. I think should be the point of view of everyone, I believe, not just nuts, that he did a great thing. 866-570-PEN, 7366.
My thoughts on this are that Bill Gates is the only person you could give a few billion dollars to that wouldn't just skim off a little of it and go somewhere.
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
And Buffett's going, Gates has enough money. He's not going to steal it.
Why would he steal my money? He has more money than I do. And although it's still not my favorite thing for Bill Gates to do. My favorite thing for Bill Gates to do would be a one-man Atlas Shrugged. I think the second that they said to him they're going to put antitrust laws, he should have just split and said, oh, you think I have too much power, too much money? Goodbye. And he should have gone to, like, Sri Lanka and opened a dive shop, very well-stocked dive shop, and done all the stuff from there.
Microsoft just fall onto its head.
Sure, exactly. It's just, if you don't want me to do the work I'm doing, then just I'll leave. You don't need me at all. So I'll just split if that's the case. 866-570-PEN, that's P-E-N-N, 7366. And I want to talk about this Warren Buffett thing. I also want to talk about, do you think that anybody could spend money better than Bill Gates? I think if you're that good at making money, you're that good at spending it. I mean, I would believe if I were going to give, like, nothing, you know, the amount of money I can give, like thousands of dollars. If I were going to give it to somebody, don't you give it to the richest guy in the world? Zero chance that he'll be skimming. And also, he knows how to handle money. If there's one thing, Bill Gates knows, it's how to handle money, right?
You would think.
Yeah. So, Penn Radio.
I love his causes. I mean, fighting malaria.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. To be the guy who knocked malaria out of the human
Although
race
we had,
would just be...
we had malaria was coming along really well with the DDT, and then I blame the hippies in the 60s for banning DDT around the world. They killed millions of people by doing that.
Yeah, but I think that mosquitoes would have developed a resistance to DDT eventually.
Yeah, or they might have collapsed certain populations.
Sure.
Yeah. If they'd used it right and so on, it might have done a good job. But anyways, those people died right away because of not getting rid of the mosquitoes. Oh, let's take a phone call. Let's take Bob. Hey, Bob, what's up, man? Bob? Okay, Bob hung up.
We lost Bob.
Yeah, he was terrified of that authoritative voice.
I don't believe
hung up as soon as he heard us.
Could have been his cell phone.
Yeah, could have been.
Maybe Bill Gates could just spend the money on getting cell phones working.
Well, then
skip the malaria. Let's work on the cell phones.
Yeah, malaria and AIDS. He's yeah. working on, and there's something else too, right? That he's really obsessed with, and also he's very obsessed with education. The Gates Foundation is, which I think, you know, I'm one of those people who believes that education should not be done by the government. I think it's better to be uneducated than to be educated by your government. Why do we want to have government schools? Wouldn't it be better if we just did that all with charity and people paying? Most people, if they didn't have to pay the taxes for the schools, would be able to afford private schools. They could pop up all over and no argument about anything. Then you could have prayer in all the schools you wanted them in with the people that were going paying for it. And nuts like us who didn't want prayer in the school could find a school that didn't do that. Having to agree on everything means you need the government to come in and use force to send kids to school and to take money to pay for that. And I think it would be much better done privately. I would much rather have Microsoft schools in every town than government schools in every town. You know, you don't want the same people who are tallying the votes and are being elected to get have control over the schools, what people are learning. 866-570-PEN. 866-570-7366. It's a brand new number. It's a number with my name in it. 866-570-PEN.
It's just more fun to dial.
7366. What could be more fun here on Free FM than dialing my name? PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. I just want to billboard this. Coming up July 4th is a very special Monkey Tuesday. Very special. Very special. As a matter of fact, I wanted to tell you this. Now, Monkey Tuesday is also tomorrow, and we're gonna have that. But a week from tomorrow is going to be the patriotic Monkey Tuesday. And the mighty, mighty Mike Jones is coming into my studio right after we finish this show. He's going to record special. This should probably be a surprise for y'all, but I'm going to blow the surprise right now. He's going to record very special patriotic Monkey Tuesday music. Now, what I need out of you guys is a lot of you listen on iPods, a lot of you time shift the listening. So what I need you to do is to write to PennRadio.com or PennRadio@gmail.com, write in with patriotic monkey stories, okay? Those of you that time shift, this is your chance. We're going to have a big gala, 4th of July, Monkey Tuesday, patriotic barbecue on the air. It'll be fabulous.
Barbecue?
Barbecued monkeys, yeah. So I want everybody, sit down. If you're at a computer right now, you must have a good patriotic monkey story.
We've received a few already, and I got to tell you, it's fun.
It's really fun. There's even a couple we can't read. But, I mean, there's other ones that are great. It's going to be a fabulous show. Be part of it right now. If you don't have a monkey story, remember, we are not journalists. We do not check our facts at all.
Hey,
so make one up. Just make up a monkey story. We won't question
monkey Tuesday. You are going to. Oh, Patrick did it for me. That's the second time. I'm going to be the king someday. Someday.
That's what happens. That's what happens. One little mistake. One little mistake, and all of a sudden, there's a coup. We have
He's
a coup
crying.
Here.
He's crying.
I know. He's very upset. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. And let's talk to Max. What are you going to say, Max?
Hi, Penn and Michael. How's it going?
Never better, boss. How you doing?
I love it how you always say that. Normally, well, more often than not, I agree with you, but on the school issue, I feel that you're kind of wrong with saying that the government should have no role in it, because I'm sure that you know of some people where they just don't spend their money wisely, or they'd rather go out and get a beer than, you know, get their kid a needed textbook, you know?
Uh-huh.
So by saying no public schools, all private, it would be very difficult for some people to get access to education. I'm not saying the people who can make the choices, like the parents, but for the kids who don't make choices about their financial status.
Well, that is certainly the argument, and education is very, very important. Although I don't know, our school systems in this country were built on the Prussian school system, which was to train people for factory work and for military. That's what they wanted to do, get people organized and following directions for that. And
there was
a view before that it was supposed to be a liberal arts education for rich people to more enjoy culture. And I don't think the government has even decided what they're trying to do with schools. And I think that having that done privately would at least allow some pluses and minuses. We just lost him. I did not. Oh man, I wanted to talk to Max some more.
He's still there.
I just heard a crackle. So I think we have to decide what we want to do with schools first. And I just think that I trust somebody working in the private sector to do charity. I think you could have Microsoft schools, and they would be fabulous advertising for Microsoft. It would be a wonderful charity thing to do, and you wouldn't have the government involved. People could always choose to go to another school. So I don't know. I mean, my nut point of view is so far from being adopted. It seems like schools are very, very sacred, and the government likes control. But, you know, the stuff that they preach in the government schools that you have to agree with to get through, the fact that Christians going to public school have to pay for it, and yet they don't have prayer. I mean, I think they should have a right to have prayer in schools, but they should not have to pay for government schools if they're going. So maybe you only tax people that are going to send their kids to public school. But none of this is going to happen. We're not even going to get vouchers. But what I was mostly talking about, I wanted to talk about Jimmy Buffett giving all his money to Bill Gates. But thanks a lot for calling, Max. I only cut that off a little bit because I don't want to get too into the public school things, because I'm such a nut on that. It'll just be people calling up one after the other and saying, you're a nut, you're a nut, you're a nut, you're a nut. but this is all people are calling about, right?
That's all they're calling about,
Let's take Mike. Let's talk to Mike.
Let's talk to Mike. For sure, there he is.
How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing great, guy. How you doing?
Never better, boss. What's up?
Hey, listen, first of all, I can't believe you're as smart as you are.
Oh, thank you.
And I'll say this because I followed you as you know, in your acting and tell and so forth, and you're really good magician wise but you're smarter than you are a good magician.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much.
And I know Taylor must be kicking himself now because he can't do any gigs because he can't talk.
Yeah, that's it. He's not working at all. I think Taylor's got plenty of work, but yeah, I'll pass that on to him.
Hey, listen, you're absolutely right about this whole donation thing and Microsoft. And, you know, people always say you want to do what a successful guy does. And, you know, if there were Microsoft schools or any type of corporation like that school, I'd be the first one having my kids go there. Because how can you make a wrong mistake following guys like that who are so successful? That's the way I look at it. And look how bad the government does what they do. I don't want to send my kids to some place with those guys in charge.
Yeah, I would think, you know, that's my point of view, but I think we're a long way from getting there, Mike. I don't think anyone really agrees with us on this. But thanks for all your kind words, Mike. That's very, very nice. Thank you. We got time for a few more calls. Let's take Justin. Hey, what's up, Justin?
How you doing, Penn?
Never better, boss.
I had a point to make about our public schools that I think education should be a privilege and not a right. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why our public schools are failing is because kids don't want to be there.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't want to get education, then you should have to pay if you want to get education.
Well, you'll hear a lot of teachers saying that the real problem is you are no longer allowed to throw kids out of classes or do anything. You have no control over them whatsoever, and everybody has to graduate. There's all these rules of no child left behind and so on. And if everybody has to go through it, then there's no pride in going through it. And
exactly.
that's a big problem we have in a lot of stuff with kids, is that they always talk about self-esteem, but they never talk about self-esteem being real. I mean, you have to accomplish something to have self-esteem. You can't have it because of the color of your skin. You can't have it just because you're breathing. You should really accomplish something. And I think the public schools, by making all these promises that everyone's going to get through, have done a lot of damage. And I think that there's all this talk in schools about protecting the poorest and the worst students, but there's not enough talk about how the poorest and the worst students really hurt the hardest working and the smartest students, who don't get the attention because it's all being dumbed down very much. So I would be in favor. I also don't think that everybody needs or wants to go to school. I mean, I think that parents should be able to make that decision. And I think the idea that poor people wouldn't support their kids in going to school isn't borne out by anything we hear. It seems like the everybody wants better for their kids than they had, and poor people are very aware that education can be a way out of that. So I think I'm inclined to agree with you on that is a privilege. You know, the problem is that you worry so much about kids who need education badly not getting it, and that's of course the horror of that. But thanks so much, Justin. We're docking on 866-570-PEN. Imagine the fun of dialing my name. 7366 866-570-PEN.
You were wondering what the other Bill and Melinda Gates thing is. It's libraries.
Yeah, libraries. Yeah,
they have a foundation building libraries back into the Gulf Coast where they were destroyed by Hurricane Katrina.
I just think, you know, I would trust Bill Gates to run anything better than the government. But that's not saying much. I would trust Mo Howard to run things better than the government. Incidentally, I should point out Ted Healy was not a stooge. It was Ted Healy and his stooges, okay? Let me just say that, because we get a lot of letters about that. 866-570-PEN, that's 7366. PENradio@gmail.com, PENradio.com. There's a lot of people on the line, a lot of people. And just hold on. We'll get to you. I guess I'll talk about education as well as Jimmy Buffett giving all his money to
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett, yeah. 866-570-PEN. Get ready to call in if you're on there. Hang in. And don't forget, send your patriotic monkey stories right now. Searing guitar. That's the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra. That's Jimmy McIntosh playing that lead guitar, and he's also putting in some rhythm behind it. I'm playing bass. 866-570-PEN, 7366. PENradio@gmail.com, PENradio.com. We got a ton of callers there. Hang in there. I'm gonna get to you very, very, very soon. I want to remind you that next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, will be a very, very special July 4th Monkey Tuesday. So please, if you have a patriotic monkey story, send it in. If you don't have one, make it up. I want this to be the finest Monkey Tuesday in the 230 years of America's existence. I just want this to be great. Is that about the right time, right?
Yeah,
76. Yeah. I did that right away. 230 years. Yeah. 866-570-PEN, 7366. That's what that is. PENradio@gmail.com, PENradio.com. Getting a lot of Gmails, have a lot of phone calls, but I want to read this one first. This is from, it doesn't give his name, so I won't give his name. Two comments. Buffett doesn't believe in religion, and he does not believe in leaving all his money to his progeny. He likens it to giving the spots of the 2020 Olympic team to the kids of the 2000 Olympians. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I couldn't agree more with all of that. For those who think that people without religion don't do good, I think you can't do much better than $38 billion. That is, let's round it off, that's $38 billion more than I've given to charity. Let's take a call here. Let's take Patrick. Can we talk to Patrick there?
Sure.
How you doing, Patrick?
Hi. How you doing?
Never better, boss. What's up?
Well, the first point I had was that when he gets all this money, his income is already so high that it wouldn't really make a difference because of the capital gains tax he pays. So it's really like a drop in the bucket. He's a self-made man, and he ran his business so well, he has the perspective to properly spend the money on good causes. And the other thing is that when Katrina happened, a lot of people I knew were trying to give to charities, and there was a really big issue of what charity to give to because how much overhead they have and how much they actually spend on the charity they're supposed to spend it on, how much they keep and pay their employees.
It's not just that. It's also what they consider the charity to be. I mean, many of your religious organizations, when they give help, especially overseas, the help they give is Bibles and Bible study. It's not, you know, it's not food, it's not farming, it's not that kind of stuff. So it's not only how much overhead they have, but what they do with the money that is used for the people.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of decisions on charity to be made, and that's the thing about having someone that's as successful a businessman as Bill Gates, having him in charge, he's able to decide what's working and what's not and abandon what's not working, although he wasn't that way with Windows. But that's not an important point. That's beside the point. I think that being able to abandon stuff and move on, and people being able, when it's government money, taken in taxes by force, then it has to be decided and stuck to and pushed through. If you have it individual charity organizations, then you can look and say, you know, the Gates Foundation is doing better than the Gillette Foundation. Let's go with that one. And that makes a big difference there. So, yeah, I like Gates doing this a lot. So thanks a lot for that call. Let's take Lisa.
Where's Lisa? I'm sorry.
Right there.
Sorry. It's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa, what's up?
Hi.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good. What's up?
Well, I'm calling because the county school that my children go to, they have got special education needs, and the schools do not implement the IEPs. They just put it on paper because we have this law of no child left behind. My child is going to be a senior next year, has a 5.5-year-old writing fluency, but they continue to pass him through the system. Mm-hmm. He is entitled to a free and appropriate education, which he apparently is not getting.
Right, of course.
And I have another child who constantly has had 4 independent testing done saying that she needs special education, but the school's constantly saying she doesn't need it, even with professional doctors giving documentation, and they're still not doing it. They still won't do what's supposed to be done for these kids. They just keep passing them through the system, and they sit in front of your face, and they lie, and they twist their words around.
Well, they certainly the idea of no child left behind is going to mean instead of educating those that need help, what they're going to do is find ways to push them through the system, so then they'll be able to tell you that your child did have a high school education and shut up, because when they have documentation from a public school that says that, they then can play this game that has nothing to do with reality. They think that just because someone passes in high school that they've learned something. And I happen to have gone to a very bad school. I got through high school, and I think I learned next to nothing. Everything I learned was on my own. So I think private school could do a better job. And best of luck to you and your kids there, Lisa. Thanks a lot for calling.
You know what I found on IEP, and this is with my autistic son, was that they did nothing unless you demanded it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the services are there. They'll tell you they're available. But, you know, as a parent, you don't know what that means.
So how did you take care of that?
Just going to specialists, asking them, what do you think our son needs? And then going back to the school board and saying, this is what the specialist says our son needs. Do you have this? And they say, well, yeah, we do. And then they're giving you, you know, an hour a week of it. Or, you know, they will give you what it is you demand or what it is you ask for and nothing more.
Uh-huh. So did you, like, look up what was available?
Yeah, I tried to figure out what does my son need. You know, I'm not an autistic specialist. You know what I mean?
You're going to be.
I am now, but it sure didn't start out that way. But by doing research, you can figure out what your kid needs and ask for it, because the school system is, required to give it to you.
Now, you said,
not that that's necessarily good. I'm pointing out that...
You've used two different words, though. You've used ask and demand. I want to know which...
You can try... asking. But I think the demand was more effective.
Demanding worked better. And did you know what you wanted? You went indirectly and said, this is what my child needs. Give it to him?
For some of the stuff, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And where'd you said you went to the school board?
Well, there's a you have a meeting twice a year with people from the school board to discuss the needs of your special needs child.
Okay, but how do you get into that category of special needs?
I don't remember. It just happened that way. By the time we got to regular school, my son had already been in special programs.
Oh,
I see.
He was
two and a half. He was unable to speak, and you know, we brought in specialists and got him talking, and things have progressed along since then. But he's been in special programs since he was 3 years old.
Yeah, well, it's hard to tell, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the problems you've had with them, but it's really hard to tell being around them, you know.
That's the good news.
He just seems like a really smart, introspective kid.
Yes, he's very introspective.
You do notice that. I mean, you do notice that introspective.
That and the obsession with trains.
We're at 866-570.
We're degenerating to talk about my kids. That's a good idea.
That's good. I don't think it's degenerating at all. I think it's you know so much about this stuff. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. We're talking about Jimmy Buffett giving all
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett giving all his money to Billy Gates, and now having
Jimmy
the
Buffett,
Gates Foundation.
Jimmy Buffett spent all his money.
Did he? On margaritas?
Yeah, exactly. And airplanes.
And searching for that long-lost shaker of salt. See, I know the words to that.
Nice.
I'm not totally devoid of pop culture.
Made enough money to buy Miami, but pissed it away. That's what he did.
Okay, let's take another
by his own admission.
Let's take another phone call. I'm afraid of that one because it has the same name as what we just took. So let's go with Brett.
Okay.
What's up, Brett?
Hey, Penn. You know, got to say, first off, how is it that 106.7 in Washington dropped your show and it was the only good show they played all day long was Beyond Me? And I'm suffering because I'm having a harder time listening to you.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. I guess they don't tell me that.
Yeah, they changed over, like, the midday show, and I don't even know who it was.
Well, they moved it to a different time, yeah.
Well, I don't know, but in any case, I'm having a hard, like, I have to use the Baltimore station to get you, but I'm closer to D.C., so it's, like, terribly staticky, so it sucks.
A lot of times that's actually us. A lot of times when we talk, we get staticky.
But thank you.
Thank you so much. What's up, Brett?
Oh, okay, but basically, the point I was getting at, my fear is that if you were to completely privatize education, you know, you could create, like, a class where, you know, only the wealthier, you know, not the lower middle class and lower classes can educate their children. But I think the solution is not to have state-run schools, but state-funded schools that are privately run. My sister works at a school for autistic children, and almost all the money comes because the state has to pay for the autistic children to go to her school, but it's still a privately run school. But the state has to pay for the children to go to the school so the parents don't have to because they can't afford it because it's so expensive.
Well, I think that's a nice step. That would be a nice step in between, but I really think everybody is in favor of education, and I think if you stop taking the tax money for that, I think that you would have such amazing charitable donations that and they would go to kids in need, and I think they would find better ways to distribute it. I don't think that the government is the best at distributing compassion. I think compassion comes from individuals. Compassion comes from a lot of your very, very wealthy, and I think that you take the schools away, and instantly, I think that the Ford Foundation and the Gates Foundation, all those people would jump into the void and get stuff for especially kids with special needs. It's such good PR, and that's not even fair of me to say it's such good PR. I think it's one of the things as a human being we care about. We care about children.
You think that's better than having a ballpark named after your company?
I think it might be better. Well, thanks a lot, Brett. And I'm sorry about the D.C. thing. But Happy Jack is all over that. He's looking carefully here. Let me see. Let's take Mike. I think Mike's. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I was just calling because I'm a teacher actually in Jersey, and I heard people talking about the difficulties of the parents in getting services, and I was just taught, I'm newly graduated, and we're always talking about how it's a new system, special ed, as it's not by any means mastered yet, and they're still trying to learn what is really working, and the laws are written such that the parent is expected to be the advocate, so, I mean, it's not really that surprising, and it certainly needs to be fixed, but I also think different districts, you know, succeed differently at different levels.
But, you know, when you say, when you use the excuse that special ed is fairly new and therefore there are going to be some rocky patches, I'd agree with you completely, except that general education has been around for a good long time, and it doesn't seem that that's getting a lot better, that they're really improving on that.
Well, it has, but not compulsory education. A lot of the older education, I mean, when you say that our public education has been around for a long time, only the highest levels. There are, like, academy learnings and not the schools that we have today. I think even that, really, as late as the 50s, they had allowed people to drop out to such an extent that only the real smartest kids got a full education.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think it was just the smartest kids. I think in, you know, my parents' time, they certainly got, my parents were much older, so they were going to school probably in the, I don't know if I can do the math in my head because I didn't have that good an education, but the 30s. They had a very complete basic education. Certainly, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic they had down, and they weren't, they were certainly not wealthy. They were, my parents were brought up not wealthy at all, and I don't think that they were the absolute smartest in their class, and they seem to do very well. Most of the studies do seem to say that education in this country is getting worse and worse and worse. So I don't know if that argument really holds up, but thanks a lot for calling there, Mike. And we're going to be back right after this, 866-570-PEN-7366. And those that are on the line, wait around because we like to waste your time. No, we'll get you. We'll get you. Yeah, this is Penn, 866-570-PEN-7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Don't forget to write in your stories of a patriotic monkey nature, any simian stories of patriotic nature suitable for the July 4th Monkey Tuesday. Write them up and send them to PennRadio@gmail.com. Penn Radio, PennRadio @gmail.com, 866-570-PEN, that's 7366. And okay, I give up. Uncle, I give. I've been trying to talk about Jimmy Buffett giving all his money Warren Buffett giving all his money to Bill Gates for charity, and people seem to want to talk about schools. So I'm going to talk about that. But first, I'm going to read this Gmail from Gina, who I just love this point. I really hate how the mainstream media's coverage of this calls it Warren Buffett giving back. I wasn't aware that anybody gave Buffett a goddamned thing. That's Gina's comment, and boy, I would like to associate myself with that remark, if I could. That's a great comment. Someone else writes in, examples of pre-government schools, the gray-haired dead dudes that wrote the Constitution at all. Remember the Ken Burns file, the Civil War? Remember the letters from home and the diaries read from in there? If only such well-educated folks could write so well today. Very smart comment. Another one, and I think this is from a guy named Eric. So, if we have privately sponsored education, what is to prevent the sponsor from influencing the curriculum? Maybe Microsoft can become even more powerful? Discussed. What's going to be taught? How to use their software? By the way, Monkey Tuesdays are a true treat. That's from Eric, and that's a really good point. I think that if you had Microsoft schools, just the name being Microsoft, would be the advertising. I don't think they would do anything that blatant because I think the backlash would be so great to that kind of thing. But let's
be going to a Mac school.
yeah, exactly.
Sending my kid to Mac school.
Mac school. I think we should take. Let's talk to Katie.
Sure.
How you doing, Katie?
Hi, I'm great.
Good. What's up?
Hi, I love your show, first of all. I just recently started listening to it, and I drive more so I can listen to the radio.
Well, that's bad.
It's sad. I was just calling. I heard you guys talking about No Child Left Behind, and my blood started to boil when I hear those words, so I had to call in. I'm a high school teacher, and No Child Left Behind makes our job so much more difficult because we see these kids who are almost useless, I mean, to the point of just practically brain dead, and we have to push them through. Mm-hmm. And then these are the people who are going to be, you know, in charge of my drive-through order, and they're going to screw it up just like they did when they were in high school.
So, what would be your view of utopia from being inside the school system?
Oh my gosh, utopia. Well, I think teachers should have more input as far as curriculum, as far as the rules are concerned, who gets to be advanced.
You want to be able to leave children behind. You want?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
Some children need to be left behind. They do.
Yeah. And are you happy with government schools? Would you rather work for a private institution?
At this point, this is my third year. I just finished my third year.
Uh-huh.
And I think that if the government can get decent programs and involve teachers more, I think it would be fine. Talking about Microsoft sponsoring schools, I think that would be fine because it's a lot of money and it might be worth something.
Uh-huh. But you're kind of taking the same argument that you can't just say this is how many people we graduated if those kids aren't learning anything, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well.
Exactly. And kids don't drop out at my school anymore because they know they'll just get pushed through and
uh-huh.
they'll end up with that piece of paper that's worth almost nothing if you didn't do anything to get it.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that you've made it totally not worth getting by giving it to everybody. But that's a very unpopular point of view. There's all sorts of stuff. You know, I was looking at schools for my, you know, preschools for my daughter, and there's all this stuff that talks about building self-esteem with no talk about building the skills that learn self-esteem.
I'm sure
parents should have unconditional love for their kids and should support them in everything, but I'm not sure the world needs to do that. And if schools do that, then when they get out of school, they're going to be pretty surprised to find out that employers don't. But maybe the direction we're going is employers
exactly.
won't be able to. They'll put more laws in place so you can't be fired or something.
Like in France, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But thanks a lot, Katie. Thanks a lot so much. You want to let me see? You want to take another call? Yeah. 866-570-PEN 7366 penradio@gmail.com penradio.com. Please send in your patriotic monkey stories. I really want this to be a very, very special Monkey Tuesday. What call do you want to take? Oh, let's take Rob. Let's take Rob's call here. How you doing, Rob?
Good. How you doing, Penn Gillette?
Never better, boss. What's up?
Love your show. I also just started listening. The point I wanted to bring up is how can we blame an institution like education when the institution is so heavily involved with parental involvement? I just think that even privatizing education, you know, giving a higher quality education, it's basically worthless if the people who are being taught are not being properly taught at home, you know?
No, but is there any evidence at all that that parents care less about their kids now than they ever have in history? I don't think there's any evidence towards that. You always hear politicians talking about how, you know, parents have to do this, parents have to do that. I think parents are doing it. I think parents, I don't see any evidence anywhere that parents care less about their kids. And certainly to pretend that the government cares more about the kids than the parents seems to me to be not only not true, which I guess is the biggest sin, but also very insulting.
Well, no, I'm not saying parents don't care. That's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, parents obviously do care about their kids, and I agree with you there that there is no evidence about parental caring. I'm just saying that qualities such as discipline and the value of education are not going to be taught to a classroom full of 30 kids.
Mm-hmm.
These values need to be reinforced at home, and ultimately, if you're going to look for education to be poured out on, you know, bad seeds, nothing's going to produce, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a big problem. And Teller was a teacher for several years. Teller taught high school Latin and Greek, the classics.
It's a good thing you saved him.
And Teller wrote, you know, wrote curriculum. Teller was, I sat in on one of his classes. I was in high school, and I went down to see Teller's class. And Teller was a phenomenally good teacher, which would surprise nobody. But what he said was teaching Latin and Greek was the best thing possible in a public school because they were completely elective. So that nobody was being forced through. So he had nothing but kids that cared desperately about the information and were there to really learn. So a lot of my feelings about how you shouldn't push kids through and make it impossible to throw them out comes from Teller's experience in being a teacher for whatever he was, I guess 5 or 6 years. He was just about to get tenure. It was the year he was getting tenure that I ripped him out of the school system and brought him into Penn and Teller. So I'm to blame for Lawrence Township in New Jersey having a worse back. But he'd be retired now, so let me off now. Thanks a lot for calling there, Rob. Thanks so much. I want to take we got time, don't we? We got time.
Sure we do.
Who's been on here waiting around the longest? Let's take James, why don't we?
There we go.
Hey James, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, Penn?
Doing very well, thanks.
Big fan. I actually just started listening too. I'm down here in Maryland, so.
Cool.
I want to actually touch on that girl Katie's call about two calls ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's pretty sad. The girl said she's only been teaching 3 years, and she already has that bad of an attitude.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty sad because, you know, I don't think it's her fault, and I don't think it's the parents' fault. I think a lot of it is with the special educators. It's a lot when I taught, it was you didn't see a lot of the special educators working with the parents, working with the teachers. You see a lot of the special educators working with them separately. And in the school I taught at, we always worked, the three of us, we all worked together.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I actually taught health, which is required. They're required to take it, but, you know, we're talking about things like drugs and sex and mental health, you know, things that are interesting to 18-year-old, 17-year-old kids.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't as much of an issue for me to get that kind of response. It was just sad to see these math teachers and these social studies teachers get so frustrated, and they pretty much give up like that girl Katie did.
Right. I don't think Katie was talking at all about any sort of special ed, was she?
No, not at all.
Okay, yeah. Just wanted to make sure that that's clear. It was another person that was talking about that. But go on.
Okay. But what another thing I was talking about earlier in your the guest you have there, he said something about how his kid is autistic, and that he went to a specialist and had him tested, and then he went to his school board and said, yeah, I would like them to do this with my son, daughter, I'm not sure what it was.
Son, yeah.
That happens more often than you think because there are people with special needs kids, you get two kinds, ones that care a whole lot about their education, and ones that are always trying to look for something wrong with how their kid is being educated. And they become very litigious, and it's sad to see because, you know, we're supposed to be raising the standards for these students and all this, and it's like all they want to do is think about what they're not doing for their kids and not what everyone is doing for the kids.
So what do you have? Is there any sort of solution you have to any of this? Are you pro public schools? Do you think
I'm pro public school? Okay. I've observed in public and private, and I really don't see that much of a difference other than the funding.
Yeah.
And with funding, I mean, public school, I taught in a school that was 99.9%. But I mean, I had Joe and Caitlin. They were my white students.
Yeah, okay.
You know, my school was African-American. But we made do. We made it happen with what we had. And it's sad to see city schools and, you know, predominantly, you know, minority schools catching a bad rap when they're probably trying harder more than anyone else.
Well, I'm going to have to cut you off only because it's the end of the show. I'd like to talk to you more,
but
thanks
it.
A lot for calling. This is Penn Jillette. We've been talking about Jimmy Buffett giving all that
Warren
money.
Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett giving all that money to Bill Gates. This is Penn Jillette. Send in your patriotic monkey stories. PennRadio@gmail.com.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.